Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And then they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In today's Gospel from John that you've just heard, the primary focus is on John the Baptist, to whom we were introduced in last Sunday's Gospel, but with the emphasis then being on the prophets in general. So to our Gospel. And it's a message we truly need to hear today as much as did those people over 2,000 years ago. The message John the Baptist preached was an unusual one. He did not preach to gain the favor of men. He did not preach to grow a great ministry. He did not preach to attract a crowd. He preached a simple message about a wonderful Savior named Jesus. And the rest, as they say, was history. He preached a simple message about the need for people to deal honestly with their sins. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And John's Gospel tells us that John the Baptist came as a witness to testify to the light, although he himself was not the true light. He was sent to share the good news concerning who Jesus is. He is truly human. He has a human name, Jesus. He is truly divine. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is truly unique. He is both humanity and deity in one person. He is the true source of good news. Jesus alone is the source of salvation. Wow. No wonder John the Baptist says, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me." I'm going to pick up today on the testimony of John the Baptist from this morning's Gospel. John's testimony is his telling of the story through witness. John had to answer questions as to who he was. And I ask you whether you think you are a witness or an interrogator. John the Baptist was confronted by priests and Levites sent from the Jews to question him. I ask you whether you think you are a witness or an interrogator in your faith. There are, today's Gospel suggests, two ways of approaching life and God's presence in the world. One way is demonstrated by John, and the other way is demonstrated by the priests and Levites. We're either witnesses or interrogators. Which voice do we listen to? Which voice do we follow? Those are questions we must answer every day. I don't in any way suggest that we should stop questioning God's word to better our understanding of it, but we should never question that God's word exists at all. The reality of humanity is that we're all a people of the wilderness. So what is going to go any way in helping us find our way? The reality of God is that God is the God of hope. Do we trust the voice of the wilderness, or do we trust the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness? The voice we listen to is the voice with which we as individuals will speak. We will become either witnesses or interrogators. We choose who we want to be. John knows who he is and who he is not. Do we? As I said earlier, he claims for himself neither too much nor too little. That's what makes him a credible witness. He speaks the truth, but he is not the truth. He is illumined, but he is not the light. He is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, but he is not the word of God. Everything about John points to the light and the life of the one who both stands among us and the one who is coming. Witnesses live and die based on what they have seen, heard, and experienced, and John's testimony is rock solid. I think the real difference between witnesses and interrogators is that interrogators demand answers, while witnesses offer hope. More than ever, our world today needs witnesses of hope. We have enough interrogators. We need to hear the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Interrogators will look at and question the circumstances of rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. But that is faithless and makes us look at the glass half empty. They question if the circumstances are right for rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. Is there a reason for those things? The interrogators want answers, justifications, and reasons. Witnesses, however, look beyond the circumstances to the God who fills those circumstances. It's always right to rejoice, pray and give thanks to God. And knowing that is hope. It opens our eyes to see the one who is coming. It prepares our hearts to welcome the one who is already amongst us. It makes straight the way for the Lord. Hope is not just a feeling, but an attitude as to how we lead our lives. It's a way of seeing. It allows us to recognize and know the Christ already here and not yet here. Hope is not easy, but it's something we must practice. This past week in evening prayer, and indeed in our New Testament reading this morning, it's included Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. We read that we should rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So when hope seems impossible, remember that hope is the will of God in us, in you and in me. John is certainly one I'd like to emulate, though I'd skip the beard, scratchy clothes, and locusts and wild honey. But what an act to follow. The practices that we were asked to give in Thessalonians, enable us to both hear and become the voice of hope. Hope does not change the circumstances of our lives, it changes us. And surely that, in turn, changes everything through our faith. Amen.